From atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt continues now. This is the broadcast for October the 13th in the year of our Lord 2021. This is hour two of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country in the traditions of our founding fathers, ladies and gentlemen. We didn't have time for the recap last hour because we were talking too much about the Liberty Conference 2021 going on at the Salt Palace in Salt Lake City, Utah. WeCanAct.net for the website to learn more, to see the incredible lineup of speakers. There'll be vendors and booths. I'll be there with the Loving Liberty Network group with a booth. We'll be broadcasting live from the event and a whole lot more, so check it out, WeCanAct.net. If you put in the code LIBERTY when you get your tickets, you'll get $50 off. LIBERTY is your code, if you will. And I'm telling you, it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful conference. And if you're anywhere near, I'm telling you, you want to go. Even if you're kind of far, but you can make it, please do. We want people to come in person. There's nothing like meeting in person, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, so please come in person. But anyway, we are so busy talking to our incredible guests last hour, we didn't even have time to do the recap. We had on our guest, Doug Billings, DougBillings.us, incredible podcaster, host of The Right Side, one of the most popular hosts on the planet these days. We highlighted the point that Jen Psaki accidentally confirms that no Biden federal vaccine mandate even exists. Wow. We also talked to Steve Christiansen, Utah rep, represented the 47th district of the great state of Utah. Anyway, we just had a phenomenal time last hour. But I really want to highlight this point, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know if you know, but they're saying, hey, you know what? It's a bluff. Biden's mandate does not actually exist. So it's literally legislating by executive order press release is all it is. Sorry, President, wrong branch of government. Sorry, President, you don't have authority by press release. I mean, this is absolutely insane. There is no mandate, ladies and gentlemen. Larry Pratt, welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Sam, good to be with you. Apparently, we're living in never, never land. This is just extraordinary. What you're describing is just over the top.
It's out of control. What do you think, though? Literally, there are 24 plus governors across the country that want to file a lawsuit. I don't believe a lawsuit's the way to go, but that's a whole nother topic. I think they ought to just nullify now and just shut down the federal government instantly. And I appreciate Governor Abbott trying to do that, but now companies aren't sure where to go legally speaking. They're just confused. But the reality is there is no mandate. These 24 plus governors can't even sue because there's no document. There's nothing to point to. There's just an executive order, quote, verbal press release backed by I don't know what, but there is literally no mandate anywhere that can be challenged even yet.
No.
It's all by fiat.
Absolutely. And they didn't go through the regular process for issuing a regulation, in this case by the CDC. There was no period of notice. There was no time for period of comment. As you say, it just he threw it out there. Or not Biden, not only Biden does anything, but those around him threw it out there. And I guess they're just kind of hoping they can get away with it because they've gotten away with everything else.
Well, and if all these companies and people are deceived, here's what's going to happen. By the time they either get something on the books so that you can go to a lawsuit or so that you can deal with this, you're going to either have most people fired or forced to take the vaccine. So in other words, the point is lawsuits and anything else will be a day late and a dollar short. The judge is just going to go, I appreciate that, but, you know, we're already too far down the road. Is that what's going to happen? We're just going to have dictators legislate / mandate by fiat, by press release? Is that where America has devolved into, Larry Pratt?
Well, it's very difficult for people to put their jobs on the line. And one of the courses of action perhaps that ought to be pursued is what the Southwest airline pilots seem to be doing, which is, I'm sorry, but we're all sick.
It's hard for me to know kind of how to handle this because we have never seen anything like this in America. We are charting new waters. I'll tell you that right now, new territory. This is serious business, though.
Well, I would
really
enter one caveat,
Sam. Fiat and fraud.
One caveat. Actually, we have seen it before. It was under the British king and his governors, and that's why some of the governors got tarred and feathered. And that kind of took their appetite away from issuing what we now call executive orders.
When they talk about the king and that being done, are we really at a 1776 situation? I mean, are we really that serious to where we have to use the Declaration of Independence? I don't want to get there. I want to use the supreme law of the land and peacefully restore, Larry.
I quite agree, but I think the pilots have given us a useful step. While we're waiting for the 5 years it might take for a court case to be decided in the Supreme Court, they're just not showing up to work. They're not going to get the job, and they're not going to be around to get it. And if enough people in a business are sick at the same time, the business, with the labor shortage that is upon us now, the business simply is going to have to say, sorry, Mr. President, but we want to continue having an income. We're going to have to deal with these people, and we'll talk to you later. Outright defiance. Noncompliance.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. It's a serious problem. Let me give you another headline. Southwest Airlines cancels well over 2,000 flights now. Ron Paul put out a press release about it and his weekly kind of a chat with the public about it, saying, hey, the Great Southwest Rebellion. The mainstream press, Southwest, the unions are all claiming, hey, this is just a weather-related issue and a traffic controller issue. The problem
Funny
is other
thing,
airlines weren't, other airlines weren't having weather problems.
Right.
The fact is they're lying, aided and abetted by the mainstream press here.
It's extraordinary. Who do you believe, me or your lying eyes?
And it's shocking how their lies can get so blatant, ladies and gentlemen.
It's also encouraging that people that are making a pretty fair income decided that they're just not going to put their health on the line like that. This is still so experimental. There's too many bad stories coming out about these vaccines. You go stick that in somebody else's arm, not ours. And so they walked off. And I think that is something that other groups of employees should consider doing as well. It seems to be the only thing that might get their attention.
There's a Rasmussen poll that just came out, Larry Pratt. 56%+ of Americans believe that cheating tainted Biden's 2020 victory. Newsmax and others with that piece. I want you to respond to that because that's an interesting landmark, and it's really a liberal polling organization that created it.
And it's interesting that in spite of the continued dominance, maybe not as much, but still, continued dominance of what we call the mainstream media, people have come to the conclusion that they're not buying that Sleepy won that election. It's just not a plausible argument, even if all your information comes from the mainline media. He spent the campaign in the basement. How does anybody win a campaign like that? When he had a rally, he'd get 10 to 15 people standing around, socially distanced for sure. But that wasn't very convincing that there was a groundswell for this turkey, and that he could get supposedly 80 million votes. Meanwhile, it turns out that something that came out yesterday, that the head of Dominion they've got some social media photographs of a page showing him as an actual full-blooded Satanist. This is the guy that runs the company that has the machines tabulating so many of our elections. Anybody see a problem with that?
Well, and I don't understand how we're not able to arrest some of these people, though, because there's so many avenues you can take when it comes to this vote fraud. I'll give you an example. Literally, Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook has two kinds of accounts, Larry. One account is automated and it shuts you down if you violate their terms in any way. The other accounts are special privileged accounts that protect you. And so if you have two candidates running and the incumbent has a special account, and those running against the incumbent, the other candidates don't, then you're literally separating candidates on Facebook by shutting one account down and protecting and preserving the incumbent's accounts. That on its face, pardon the pun, is fraud. Then you make much worse and say Mark Zuckerberg and others put over $350 million into elections in a variety of ways. And you go, we're going to debate with Mark on Capitol Hill? Why isn't he in jail? This is Liberty Roundtable Live. Larry Pratt's with me on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. Hang tight.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Larry Pratt's with me riding shotgun on the broadcast today. Postal Service to intentionally make service worse. I kid you not. Government now, and this is one of the only legitimate government things, is the post office. Now, a lot of what they're doing is not legitimate, but the general idea of a post office is legitimately constitutional. But here's the deal. They're intentionally making it worse. I kid you not. The U.S. Postal Service, ladies and gentlemen, got billions of dollars in bailout in 2020. But all that taxpayer money did nothing to change the trajectory of the quasi-government agency, ladies and gentlemen. Case in point, the government post office is, or the USPS, if you will, is going to purposefully slow down its delivery of first-class mail. Almost 4 out of 10 pieces of first-class mail will see slower delivery. Paul Steeler, senior fellow at the Lexington Institute and an expert on the Postal Service, said, "It'll be slower than even in the 1970s, Larry Pratt." Do you want to respond? I don't mean to laugh, but I'm just saying this is just insanity.
Well, it makes me appreciate the technology that we now have. We can make a photocopy, in our computers of a document, and then we can attach it to an email and send it as an attachment, and the recipient can then print it out, read it online, whatever he wants, so that we don't really need the post office, at least for that first-class mail function. There are other things, registered mail and other things of that sort, that might be more problematic, but at least for most people, we can get around them if we know that it's going to take too long for a letter to get somewhere that it needs to be. Well, most computers can handle that for us.
Anyway, I just find it fascinating that we're really in a situation where we're blatantly going to take tons of millions, billions of dollars of taxpayer money, and then we're going to literally intentionally make service slower. Norm Leahy with the article, basically, the post office is going to intentionally slow down the delivery of mail. You'll never get me to understand that.
I guess they didn't want people to think they were incapable. So, no, we're not incapable. We're doing it on purpose.
Now, I have advocated, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, for mail to just be delivered once a week. And I have made the point of mail not doing so much junk mail. And I've made the point of the post office doesn't need to try to compete with UPS and FedEx and everything else on packages. The mail should just be a stable delivery service for correspondence and et cetera. That's what it was designed constitutionally to be. And I've mentioned that we shouldn't even have government post office boxes at every home. You know what? People can go into town once a week and get their mail or whatever at a mail center. And if you got rid of all the junk mail and everything else, it wouldn't really pile up, but you could simplify and reduce the cost of the mail service and make it profitable and stable and successful fairly easily, Larry, if you wanted to. But this is a different agenda. This is when you pay for first class. That's supposed to be their best mail. They're going to slow that down, but they're going to charge you more. It's typical government-run stuff, Larry.
It reminds me of a related department of redundancy department. The government can invent things that you wouldn't think were even possible, and here they are bragging about making first-class mail slower. But then, again, I repeat, do they really have to try?
Sad to say, but they're adding insult to injury because by nature it'll happen, and then when they try it gets even worse. Is the problem. But we got a little bit of good news, Larry Pratt. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals has now overturned the decision by Judge Robert Pittman to temporarily block the Texas Heartbeat Act. And so it's a long story, but here's what happened. They put the Heartbeat Act in place. The liberals, the pro-death people, tried to go to the Supreme Court to stop it. The Supreme Court said, we're not going to touch it. It went into effect. Then Joe Biden and his liberal cronies that are all pro-death found a way to get a judge to stop it. The judge stops it, ladies and gentlemen. But then we get a group of another judge overturns it. Now they're still trying to get an injunction to stop it again. The battle for life is on, Larry.
And how desperate they are to be able soaking their hands in blood. I think it was Rush Limbaugh that made the observation that for liberals, abortion is a sacrament. And, you know, that was meant to be tongue in cheek and somewhat sardonic and funny. But frankly, I'm afraid it's all too true for too many of them.
It is so true. It's shocking and scary, if you want my humble opinion on it. But the good news is, we've prevailed for now, and I think that's really the takeaway that we need states to understand. They can nullify the federal government. They can stand up. They can get involved in the solutions. And when we stand up and do something, good happens literally every time. It's only when we do nothing that evil prospers, pro-death continues, etc., Larry.
That's the history of government. If we just let it go, you end up getting really terrible things. But, you know, this country has a history of resisting over-the-top government, obviously our war for independence. But back in the last century, in Athens, Tennessee, a group of folks, returning veterans primarily, were just absolutely enraged and horrified at the corruptocrats that had taken over the Athens city government. They were in the one election where it hit the fan. They were literally, they had the cops come in at the close of voting, grab up the voting boxes, and take them to the police station where they were going to quote unquote count the ballots. Well, at that point, these returning veterans, all of them trained by our military, grabbed their firearms and went to the police station and said, surrender those voting boxes. And the cops started shooting. Well, that wasn't a good idea. There was a volley after volley of fire pouring into the police station. And so they put out a white flag pretty soon, and out came the voting boxes. And of course, to hardly anybody's surprise, the opposition, the reform candidate, had won. And Athens, Tennessee, finally had a government of the people. But it went to that extreme. And it was the Second Amendment, the fact that there were people that did have guns and that were willing to use them, even against the quote-unquote authorities, who, when you think about it, no longer deserve to be called authorities, because authorities only have authority when they are doing legitimate things, constitutional things, and the city government of Athens was no longer legitimate. And so what these people did was not even really a rebellion. It was a restoration, but it would not have happened had they not been armed and trained.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. We need to fight for what's right. We need to stand up for what's going on. There is a Liberty Conference going on in the Olympic State of Utah, ladies and gentlemen. It'll be October 22nd and 23rd, Friday and Saturday, at the Salt Palace in Salt Lake City, Utah. An incredible lineup of speakers, a Liberty Conference like you've never seen before. The website to get your tickets immediately, weekendact.net, just like it sounds, weekendact.net. If you put in the code LIBERTY, then you'll be able to get discounts on your tickets, $50 off. It's incredible. Would love to see you there. I'm going to be there with a booth for the Loving Liberty Radio Network, helping people understand what we do and how to get, they can get involved, etc. There's a ton of speakers, just incredible speakers. We've been interviewing them for the last several days, and man, it's an incredible lineup that's going to be taking place. We interviewed General Flynn yesterday. I don't know if you know this, Larry Pratt, but Sheriff Mack and I do a TV show now on Brighty on TV called The Sheriff Mack Show. I'm the co-host. And we had General Flynn on yesterday talking about the abusive vote fraud, etc., with us as well. He'll be speaking at this conference along with a lot of other speakers, so it's really something that's tremendous. We're going to take a quick break, come back with Larry Pratt, and I want to talk about this China headline. China braces is the start of the headline. Cautate on that for a second. We'll get back to it. But I want you to really go to weekendact.net, punch in the code LIBERTY, and get your tickets for the incredible conference today, would you please? Larry Pratt's with me, ladies and gentlemen. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, always on tap when Liberty Roundtable Live takes to the airwaves globally on the internet and across the country on AM/FM radio stations. Wow. All right, Liberty Roundtable Live continues in seconds, folks. Hang tight.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Data collected by the National Institutes of Health show that people who received a shot of the Johnson & Johnson coronavirus vaccine have a stronger neutralizing antibody response if they receive an mRNA shot instead of a second J&J booster shot. Russia is not one of the 30 countries invited to this week's virtual counter-ransomware summit hosted by the White House. The involved nations will discuss ways to crack down on global cyber criminal networks. The goal is to stop ransomware attacks without having to rely on the Russian government, which has been accused of harboring cyber criminals. The House of Representatives followed the Senate on Tuesday, voting 219-206 right down party lines to raise the federal debt ceiling by nearly a half a trillion dollars and avert a potential default. While Congress has pushed off the debt limit for now, the fight over the final resolution will take place in December. USA Radio News.
Hear that? That's the sound of a man guarding his home around the clock. Because he has 24/7 professional monitoring from SimpliSafe Home Security. With 24/7 professional monitoring, SimpliSafe keeps watch night and day. If there's trouble, SimpliSafe alerts him and will dispatch emergency help when needed. Protect your home and your sleep. Take 30% off a new system at SimpliSafe.com today.
It's a MyPillow for the rest of your body. The MyPillow mattress topper. You will sleep well. Check it out. MyPillow.com, promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175. Don't forget, using my promo code USA will save you a bunch of money on anything on the MyPillow website. Christmas is coming. Get ready. MyPillow.com, promo code USA, 1-800-951-8175.
The United States is reopening our northern and southern borders to vaccinated Mexican and Canadian travelers come November. Chris Barnes from the New England USA Radio News Bureau reports.
The U.S. planning to reopen its land borders to fully vaccinated Canadians and Mexican citizens. As a senior administration official has told reporters, travel restrictions will be eased next month for America's neighbors visiting for non-essential reasons. That will be expanded in early January to any fully vaccinated foreign traveler crossing the land borders. The border restrictions have been in place since the start of the pandemic.
Archaeological evidence indicates that humans first started using tobacco around 12,300 years ago. In a new study published in the journal Nature Human Behavior, archaeologists have been excavating a hunter-gatherer camp at the Wishbone site near the Great Salt Lake Desert in Utah. Inside one of the bodies, charred tobacco seeds were discovered, thought to be a byproduct of chewing tobacco. USA Radio News.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Larry Pratt on your radio with me. So China now braces for possible large-scale COVID-19 outbreak. Communist Party documents leaked. Explain. Larry Pratt, this idea of coronavirus is not going away anytime soon. They're literally going to double down and never let this go as long as we let them steal liberty over it. It is their Achilles heel to take America down right now because the people are too ignorant to stop their abuses.
Well, at some point, I think people are going to fill in the dots, connect the dots, and realize that this is a disease that has a somewhat less than 0.5% of a mortality rate. It is less than the annual flu. And yet, for some reason, we've been played. We've been convinced, too many of us have been convinced, that we've got to drop everything. We've got to stay home from work. We've got to only use a mail-in ballot, which is the easiest way for bad people to cheat. We've got to change our whole way of life, turn our civilization on its head because of a disease that's less serious than something that we've endured every year for who knows how many years. We have been played, And hopefully people are going to realize that this is not working out well for we the people. The only people that are actually benefiting from this are those in power who've convinced us to, oh, please, please, take some more power. You've got to do this in order to save me. Well, because I'm in danger of dying, don't you know, from the coronavirus. Well, actually, that's not true, but enough people believe it that the elites have been able to steal liberty after liberty after liberty. And hopefully, as more and more people see through the fog and realize what's been going on, they're just going to not comply. And they're going to tell these government tyrants, no, the game is over. We're not complying anymore. And don't you dare start employing violence, because remember Athens, Tennessee.
I don't even know how to respond. Things are getting so bad, Larry Pratt. They say food prices at the highest level in a decade. They say that inflation, highest in the last 30 years. You've got a coal firm, like, you know, coal that, you know, fires up power plants and stuff. Coal firm CEO, Ernie Thrasher, he says energy crisis may trigger winter blackouts across the U.S. Jack Phillips, Western Journal, with the article. They're literally telling you, we know all these problems are going to happen, and all they're doing is forging ahead with making the problems worse. So let's close another coal power plant. Let's, okay, but everything they're doing is engineering the crisis we're facing right now. It's insane. And now you're going to have literally blackouts, and people won't have heat or anything else this winter if we're not careful.
We might call this reverse engineering, because when Trump was in office, he did a great deal to deregulate the United States, including in the areas of energy. He opened up drilling and fracking throughout a lot of the United States, and was well on the way to getting us out from under a Russian oligarch monopoly of supplying energy to Western Europe. All of a sudden, the United States had become energy independent and was in on the way to becoming once again a major exporter of energy, particularly oil and gas. Biden, in the first day in office, shut that down. He canceled the Alaska Pipeline project, which was one of the major pillars in what Trump was assembling. And we have now, day after day, seen this growing energy crisis that you were just describing.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. It is just shocking what we're seeing. Now, they say the Treasury Secretary believes that Congress will pass a global minimum tax, Larry. Now, this, in my opinion, is criminal and breaches the very sovereignty that Congress swears an oath to uphold, sir.
And it's likely to be something that is initiated just as easily in the Senate as in the House. And any spending bill constitutionally has to be initiated in the House of Representatives. We could argue that this was actually not even initiated in the United States, but somewhere in international circles populated by people like Bill Gates of Microsoft, who really hates freedom and has been doing what he can, working alongside of George Soros to fund anti-freedom politicians and organizations.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, Cameron, I put a soundbite that I want you to play in the folder. See if you can grab it here. This is I'm kind of doing a quarterback call here, because Cameron didn't know about this. But Ammon Bundy is running for Idaho for governor, as you know, or for governor of Idaho. And he created a series of ads that he's promoting to kind of highlight this. My body, my choice. is one of them. And I want to talk about that in relation to these vaccinations, because it's very, very serious as the battle, whether we have vaccinations forced down our throats or not. You know, the liberals that are pro-death used to say, my body, my choice, right? Now they're backing away from that, but we're using that argument to make the point. Here's Ammon Bundy, and I want you to respond when it's done. Larry, Ammon Bundy.
Okay.
For decades, leftists, liberal socialists, and feminists have been screaming and crying, my body, my choice, in order to justify the premeditated murder of innocent children in the womb. However, this is a fallacious argument since science has proven and demonstrated that the baby has a separate set of DNA from the mother. If it's not your DNA, it's not your body. That is science, and you should trust the science. Remarkably, the same people who have been claiming my body, my choice for decades now want to force you to inject foreign substances into your body against your will. Obviously, they never cared about my body, my choice. They just wanted to control you and have permission to kill babies. I am Ammon Bundy, and when you elect me governor of Idaho, I will sign an executive order on day one of my governorship prohibiting abortion in the state of Idaho. Because premeditated murder of the innocent should never be legal anywhere in the world, especially Idaho.
Paid for by Ammon Bundy for governor. VoteBundy.com.
I have endorsed Ammon Bundy for governor for the great state of Idaho, ladies and gentlemen. And I know a lot of people are afraid of Ammon because they think he's kind of a lightning rod. The issue that I have is it's very simple. I deal with everything based on principle, and Ammon's right on the principles, Larry.
Patrick Henry was a lightning rod, and yet over time we've come to agree that he was one of our greatest founding fathers. Give me liberty or give me death was not exactly a compromising point of view. So I think we need some more of that spirit, and if Ammon Bundy can take that into the state house in Idaho, more power to him. I think we need people like that in public office to push back and push back seriously, telling the federal government, in Bundy's case, it would be in Idaho, we're not complying. We're just not going to do that. And I think that would make the point, and it needs to be made in so many other places. And eventually the federal government would be in a position where the see, there's something that most of all of us, I don't think at one time or another, don't realize. I was in Maryland, of all places, in a county that had, before the term was used, it declared itself a constitutional county. And they were not going to comply with various executive orders emanating from Washington. And I said, well, you know, how are you guys going to be able to withstand all of the force of the federal government? And the sheriff pointed out that it wasn't something that is as black and white as that, because whenever the federal government gets involved in a quote-unquote police matter in some state or locality, it must depend on state police and local authorities as well.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Larry Pratt with me. Hang tight. One more segment of hard-hitting talk at your fingertips on the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live. Do you have your tickets? WeCanAct.net. Liberty to get your $50 off each ticket for the incredible coming up conference. WeCanAct.net.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government, and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The Foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. So the battle over the airlines is interesting. It's really over vaccinations, ladies and gentlemen. And that's the kind of the debate here. Headline from WorldNet Daily or WND.com says this. Airline pilot, quote, prepare for catastrophic disruptions to American life. Texas-based carriers submit to Joe Biden in his vaccine mandate, despite governor's order. The battle's on, but this pilot says get ready for severe or catastrophic disruptions in your life if you're an American. What do you say to that, Larry? That's a pretty bold statement.
Well, a lot of our freight does go by air, and a lot more of it, of course, by sea. And it's a rather stark picture that's available on the internet of freighter after freighter after freighter just treading water off the west coast of the United States. They don't have the people to unload them. And the United States, I think, is really reaching a point where it's almost as if we're cutting our own veins and just watching the blood flow out, wondering why it hurts. This is all self-inflicted. We voted, well, somebody installed these people after an election, and it's really time that we declare we're not going to comply. There's a lot of local officials that are of the same mind. In fact, even in liberal Los Angeles County, the sheriff there is not going to enforce a vaccine mandate. So there certainly are allies in good positions so that if the American people decide that that's it, they've gone too far, we're not complying, there's nothing they're doing that is legitimate, then I think we still have a chance.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. This is getting absolutely insane, though, and I agree that we're going to have tremendous disruptions. There's so many things brought to the brink, from shipping containers supposedly in the wrong places to where they say, well, we got enough shipping containers, but they're not in the right place to ship anything, to the catastrophic power outages because we're shutting down coal-fired power plants everywhere and we don't have green energy solutions that are stable enough to replace it, to food problems and shortages. There's power outages in China. They're now saying children are going to have disappointment over Christmas because they're not going to get Christmas gifts because there's not going to be products there because of the supply chain disaster. I mean, this is getting crazy to the point where I don't really know what it's going to look like, and I'm not really a doom and gloom guy. I don't like to tell you this doom and gloom, but when I see so many different signs, something's going to bust open, Larry.
Hopefully it means that in the elections next year, people rise up and elect so many Republicans that the leaders will have no more excuses to be cowardly, because with the power of the purse, a Republican Congress would be able to simply defund the police agencies like the FBI that would be used as the Gestapo to come against the American people. It is within our means to do this in the ballot box, but it has to be done in such an overwhelming manner that they can't steal it, and they can't convince us that it really didn't happen, because we'll know that all of us went to vote against them. It began to happen under Trump, and there was a huge shift of Democrat voters away from the Democrat Party to vote for Trump. I think that in 2022, an appeal to that kind of thinking that existed during the Trump election could actually help turn the tide again and put people into office. Imagine one scenario that I see discussed more than once now, several times actually, is that if the Republicans were to get control of the House of Representatives, it's something that you have to do a little digging, but you realize that constitutionally, the Speaker of the House does not have to be elected to the House of Representatives. The Speaker of the House could be you, Sam, could be me, it could be, to pull a name out of the air, Donald Trump. An overwhelmingly Republican
there you have it.
House of Representatives.
And I don't know if we're ever going to have an honest election again.
House.
So you mix this election with the... All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Happy to have you along. Sorry for the internet disruption. They decided to just have a router reboot in the middle of everything we're doing. I don't know what's going on. Seems like the more we talk about liberty, the more disruptions we end up with, Larry Pratt.
That struck me as a very poorly timed interruption. We were talking about that scenario that I've seen mentioned a few times that it would be possible if there were a strong Republican majority after the next election in the House of Representatives to, first of all, impeach the president and the vice president, which I think could be done quite legitimately. They've done everything they could think of to deserve impeachment. And then the House of Representatives could elect as Speaker, and the Speaker of the House can be anybody. It doesn't have to be a member of the House of Representatives at all. So the House of Representatives...
In fact, that being the case, we should insist on that it's not, by the way. I'm not saying we ought to make a law, but I'm just saying we ought to insist that it's a mere mortal that can really hold to account what's going on around here. And that can really say, look, we're not going to play games and create choke points to prevent anything good from coming to fruition, anything bad to go sailing through, and et cetera. We need to have somebody that's not a bureaucrat and a politician be there for a stint, huh?
That's exactly right. And one of the people that comes to mind when this scenario is spelled out would be, of course, Donald Trump. He could be elected Speaker of the House if the president and the vice president have been impeached and are no longer in office. The next in line is the Speaker of the House. And Donald Trump could be back in 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue once again early in 2023, right after the election.
The only question that I have, though, is Joe Biden, I mean, look how much he's destroyed in literally 8 months or whatever it is, 9 months, whatever you want to say. I mean, I don't know if we can even last that long. And I'm being serious about all the things that are brought to the brink that we've highlighted earlier on the show, Larry, to where, you know what, I don't know how stable America will be by the time that happens.
Well, it's a valid question, but if we're talking about going through the channels that are provided by our Constitution, then that is certainly a very plausible way to try to end the present agony, because I can't, otherwise we just have to talk about massive uprising like they had in the Philippines some 20 or more years ago, when at one point a million people, they estimate, were in the main downtown area of Manila, and they brought down the Marcos government, which was a feckless, nasty dictatorship that had ruled there for quite some time, and completely threw him out and brought in a new government. That's another way that you sometimes see things getting done.
Well, all the time they had fear that Donald Trump would do all these crazy things. It looks like he did none of them. But it is turning out to be true that Biden is doing a lot of these crazy things. We may have to pull him out of there with a tackle box. Not with a tackle box, but with a tackle. You might have to yank him out of there, get a crane to get him out of there. I don't know. A final headline before the end of the hour, though. I mentioned to you about these airline pilots are saying prepare for catastrophic disruptions in your life, Americans. But now there's a headline, is late breaking news, that says this: Southwest pilot, ASSN president, I don't know what that stands for, but it's the union that represents these pilots, okay? The president says pilots are demanding to talk to the company about natural immunity, antibodies, and ultimate forms of compliance with mandates. So when they tell you they're not shut down over vaccines, they're lying to you. Now we have evidence that pilots are asking to speak about this openly. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Thought would bring that to your attention. Sorry for the little internet blip. Sometimes that happens. That's live radio at its best, if you will. By the way, the We Can Act conference, you got to get your tickets now. WeCanAct.net, coming up in Utah, October 22nd and 23rd. Get your tickets now. WeCanAct.net. Put in Liberty. You get $50 off per ticket. Spread the word. Be there in person, would you please? For Larry Pratt and Sam Bushman, we declare this nation shall endure. Get involved, will you please? God save the Republic of the United States of America.